Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Ah, how about
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on iconic Rockfin Odyssey band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing support. Couldn't do it without you. Thanks for making us the number one show in America, Canada, Australia, and over 20 different countries, at least according to Chartable.com. And I have no idea how they make that calculation, but I'll take it, and I appreciate it. And it's because that you guys have been sharing it with your friends and family that's helped this podcast grow. I certainly do appreciate it. We couldn't do it, though, without the support of our sponsors. I try to curate these sponsors in a way that makes sense, that fits with what we're talking about, is aligned with our philosophies. True Hemp Science has been great to us. They sent me a bunch of products, and one of them that I just finished took about 5 weeks in this cycle, is called Bioactive Silicate. It's a little container with 2 ounces of liquid in it. You buy yourself a 1 gallon jug of distilled water. You add this whole thing to it, shake it up, do about 2 ounces in the morning, 2 ounces in the evening. And what it does is it helps to alkalize your body. It kills bacteria and biofilm. It is, it kills nanobacteria, which I didn't even know about, but apparently that's a big problem. It gets together and kind of clogs up your arteries, so it wipes that out. It detoxifies your body. Toxins are what disease live on, and they wind up creating an acidic environment inside your body, which is abnormal. And what this does is it helps to alkalize your body to bring it back to the right pH level, which is 7.0. Most of us aren't there. And so what this does is it helps kind of bring your body back in balance. And by doing that, it makes it a less likely candidate for diseases to grow out of it, because it's changed the pH content of your particular body. So it helps with joints and tendons, tissue repair, flexibility, skin health, wrinkle prevention, sleep regulation. It's pretty cool. It does quite a few things. So if you're so inclined, go to truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. I'll put the link in the description. You can check it out. It's called Bioactive Silicate. It's like $40. And it's real easy to do. Obviously, it's just like take a swig of this distilled water with this bioactive silicate mixture in it, like twice a day, 4 seconds, maybe. It's the easiest thing you can do, for sure. While you're there, check out their number 19 and number 41 hemp-based CBDs. They sent me those as well. Those are great because they have, not only do they have all the properties of CBDs, but they also give you a little bit of a boost. And these guys are making the best hemp based products out there. So truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. Link will be in the description. On your way out, use the promo code macro to save yourself a couple more bucks. And again, My Patriot Supply has been with us since pretty much the beginning of this show. Thank God they have been. I've been ranting and raving like a lunatic about how we need to get prepared. We really do. And I fully respect people's choices to use somebody other than my sponsor. My sponsor is here. If you need it, you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and knock out your food supply needs in like 10 minutes if you desire. But if you don't, and if you've got another way of doing it, or if you want to just do it gradually by adding a little bit of extra food to your weekly grocery lists, please do that. Just do something, because you're gonna really be kicking yourself. You'll be kicking yourself more so than anybody else, because you know it's coming. And to choose to do nothing about it is insane at this point. So it's one thing to have no idea and be completely caught off guard, but you're going to be feeling really bad when you knew it was coming. You chose not to act on that, and then it hits you anyway. So look, be proactive. I think that's maybe like the point of this show. Be proactive. Let's talk about difficult things, sometimes in advance of them happening. The supply chain issue is real. The food situation is dire. It's getting worse. We're in the calm before the storm, if you can even believe that, with as crazy as things sound. So just be proactive. That's all I'm asking. I just want you guys to be ready for what's coming. Nobody's going to get through this in great shape, but let's prevent that downside. Okay. We're early. We recognize it. We see the signs. Let's act accordingly. So preparewithmacroaggressions.com is the website. It'll save you some money on 4 week supply of food, 3 month supply of food. If you're a nice person, you're buying food and sending it to someone in your family that doesn't live nearby, you can just, you know, drop ship it to them. Whatever. Let's get out in front of this. Better to be early than late. Well, this topic is going to be one that I take no pleasure in at all. But what are we going to do? Are we going to pretend like this doesn't exist? Are we going to pretend like there isn't a problem with grooming culture happening in America? And I don't pretend that it's limited to America, but America has taken on this very unusual new fad. And that is the sexualization of children, younger and younger, the more bizarre sort of conversions of trying to teach these children at a younger age about more unusual aspects of sexuality that, a lot of adults aren't even interested in discussing or participating in. And we're watching this happen for kids that are, you know, 5 years old being indoctrinated, and it's a problem. It's a problem, and we're going to talk about it, because I think it's important for us to recognize what's going on, talk about who's doing this. This isn't just happening accidentally. This is not an organic event. This is made to happen. It's being financed by some very powerful people with a ton of money, and there's a real agenda that's being fueled by this. And look, it's, James Lindsay, who's an author, he's in a public speaker. He's done some great work on this. I think he's one that gets kind of credit for the OK groomer terminology. We've all heard of OK boomer. You know, it's sort of like a slam on older people when they start talking about things that are, you know, sort of specific to their generation that have no relevance to us. You know, the response, joking response, maybe shitty response is OK boomer, you know, like when they're lecturing you about like when back in my day, you know. But James Lindsay, who writes a lot about critical race theory and that this sexualization of children and all these things, if you're not following him on Twitter, you should. He's hysterical. But he started, instead of saying okay boomer, he would retweet images, you know, from these people doing crazy things, and he would instead put okay groomer, and that stuck. And now that's hate speech, according to, like, I don't know, all the fact checking organizations. again, it's not hate speech. It's just speech they hate. And there's a difference between that. Getting made fun of isn't hate speech. You're just getting owned. And you're getting owned by James Lindsay with his OK Groomer because you're acting like a groomer. And he's pointing it out. It's not hate speech. It's you getting busted. That's what it is. And look, schools are a dangerous place for kids these days. It sucks. You know, and I mean, I think I've heard someone say that, like, public school, Michael Malice, I heard Michael Malice say this, public schools are one of the only places that people will experience outright physical violence in their entire lives. The public school system. And I never even really considered that. But I think he's right. You know, kids get beat up at school all the time by other kids. They get dominated by teachers. They get stuffed in lockers. You know, they get picked on. And school's hard, man. I mean, everyone's trying to figure it out. And it's not to say that school's easy for anyone, even like the most popular guy, you know, the jock of the football team. You know, you might think that he's got it easy, but then, you know, there's things that we don't know. So it's just a tough time, even under the best of circumstances. But now you start to throw in this cultural Marxism that is creeping quickly into American culture, and it's dismantling the school system in a way that is real dangerous. They're introducing some concepts to kids at ages that are completely inappropriate for them to be talking about the topic. And it's being served to these kids by people that are unqualified to discuss it. A lot of times it being done in secret, which is even worse. So we're going to talk about a lot today with regard to the, you know, the grooming that's happening inside America. Now, I've been, you know, there's part of me that wants to make fun of this stuff and goof on it. And I do, I guess, to a certain extent, but I don't want to be misunderstood as me not taking this seriously. I can make fun of the weirdos on libs of TikTok that are in their classrooms, talking about like how they want to talk to their kids about coming out. Their kindergarten class. I just told my kindergarten class that I'm non-binary, and oh my god, they're so excited. Like I laugh at that because those people are ridiculous and mentally ill. But I also fully understand how serious this is too. So I don't want it to be misconstrued. I mean, if you've been listening to this show for any period of time, you understand that the topics are fairly serious, but I try to deliver it in a way that's, I don't know, I mean, at least slightly humorous, or I try to find the funny in there somewhere. And this is a tough topic because there's nothing funny about grooming kids. But at the same time, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the insanity of these people. And we can laugh at them because they deserve to be mocked, not because they're just some kid who's into Dungeons and Dragons and is different from the rest, and we should mock that kid to make ourselves feel better. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being a bully. I'm talking about calling these people out for the insanity that they're spewing to these children, especially the ones that are in positions of authority, be it teachers or administrators or whatever. These people deserve to be mocked. They have to be mocked. If you don't stand up to them, they will continue this behavior. And the best way to deal with them, I mean, the best legal way to deal with them is to mock and ridicule them. There's other ways to deal with them too. And they're going to find that out the hard way when they try to tell some kid, you know, don't tell your dad that I talked to you about coming out. And then the kid goes and tells their dad. And then the next day at school, the dad puts his fist through that teacher's face. You know what I mean? Because that's going to happen. It's coming. And I don't want to see the GoFundMes raising money for this poor pansexual teacher that got its ass kicked in front of everybody in kindergarten by some pissed off dad. Because it's coming. It's going to happen. Tranny story time is unacceptable for any kids. But 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds in preschool, kindergartners, first graders, you got a 6'7" guy coming in wearing a skirt with no underwear and high heels doing somersaults and reading stories to the kids. That's not going to work. I want to differentiate here. This is not the gay community doing this, okay? The gay community has fought very hard to be taken seriously. And I think they've done a good job. I think the gay community has proven that they're not from another planet. They're just like the same sex people. Who cares? You know, if that's what you're into, I don't care. It's none of my business. And likewise, the wanting to be 80 different genders or anything is none of my business until you start trying to talk to kids about it. Then it becomes everybody's business. Then you put yourself in a situation where it's no more like you don't get to hide behind the shield of, oh, they're coming after me because I'm gay or I'm trans or I'm this. No, that's the shield that you're using to deflect very worthy criticism of you. We're not coming after you because you're gay or trans or any of that stuff. They're coming after you because you're trying to sexualize children. And that is not going to be okay. It's not going to be tolerated. So when you're discussing how you've come out to your classroom of first graders and that you're soaked, and then you wind up walking to your car and some guy beats the shit out of you, just understand, you brought that on yourself. You brought it on yourself. You can't act surprised. You're sexualizing kids. And when you sexualize kids, gloves come off. Now, I'm not advocating for people to go hunt down teachers and beat them up in the parking lot. I'm not saying to do that. In fact, I'm saying don't do that. But when it does happen, and it will happen, I'm saying don't you dare try to hold up a shield that this happened because you're gay or different. It's not about that. There's plenty of people out there that are gay and different, and they don't do this. It's about the kids. That's the problem. There's groomer books in libraries now, okay? There are. It's not just happening online. It's happening all over the place. You've got, we went over the sexual question. I went over the sexual questions that were on math tests, you know? Talking about, you know, trying to incorporate critical race theory, Maya Angelou books, and algebra together. It's insane. It's crazy, but it's real and it's happening. And it's not just Maya Angelou and that. It's about the questions are getting creepy. They're getting sexual and they're getting younger and younger and younger. It's part of an indoctrination program. It's part of cultural Marxism. We've had tons of discussions about that topic here. It's like if it was just sort of happening, or maybe it was just a trend or a fad or whatever, it'd still be weird. But this is not going away. There's money behind it. There's an agenda behind it. It's deliberate. Colleges protecting professors that teach woke ideas, saying we're not going to fire these teachers. TikTok has the libs of TikTok account that runs on Twitter as well. I'm sure it's on TikTok as too, but I watch it on Twitter. It's hysterical. Whatever the criticisms of libs of TikTok videos are from the left, they're inaccurate. They say, well, this is, you know, they're hate speech and they're targeting teachers and they're making it a very dangerous situation for the teacher. No, stop. No. you're doing all of that to yourself. They, meaning Libs of TikTok account, are holding up a mirror to your insanity. What you're mad about is that people are recognizing how crazy you are and are calling you out for being crazy. Libs of TikTok's not making you do these dances or making you, forcing you to make these videos. You're making the videos. And you're putting them on TikTok because you think what you're doing is fantastic. And what they're showing you is that what you're doing is insane and bordering on child molestation. And maybe even is child molestation in some cases. It's certainly inappropriate. So get mad all you want at Libs of TikTok. They're not the problem. They're a mirror. We've got schools talking about puberty blockers. We're going to get into that too. We've got schools and administrators being very open about pro-abortion. We've got schools holding up, putting fucking communist flags up, like pushing pronouns. What are your pronouns? My pronouns are they, them. What are your pronouns? You're 6 years old. Tommy, what are your pronouns? My pronouns are I love recess. My pronouns are C3PO and R2D2? No, you have to be... What sexuality are you? Are you Zimzer? Or are you more of a cake gender? It's my new favorite one. Cake gender. You fucking retard. I wonder, why won't anybody take me seriously with my... I put cake gender on my resume. Why am I not getting any... my phone calls returned. You've got a lot of Antifa people working in the schools. You have a lot of Marxists working in the schools. I remember when teachers didn't drag that shit into the classroom. I went to a school from kindergarten through eighth grade. Same little school. My mom worked at the school. I knew all the teachers. I knew everyone in my grade and the grade above and below and I went through all those teachers, kindergarten through. I can't tell you their political. I couldn't tell you their political affiliation. I couldn't tell you I might have been able to tell you if they were married or had a husband or a wife or something. I might have been. I probably could tell you that. But political, sexuality, where they lived, where they went, you remember you'd see your teacher out like at the grocery store, like you'd be with your parent, your mom at the store, and you'd see your teacher out. It was like seeing Bigfoot. It's kind of, you'd be like, whoa, you're out in the wild. I've never seen you anywhere but in the classroom. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's the way it should stay. You don't want to go to like Cheetahs and then there's your second grade teacher swinging on a pole somewhere. Probably makes more money. But look, there's just some of this stuff is inappropriate for kids. That's my point. Promoting gender transition, having clubs where they say, we're going to talk about this, about sexual fluidity. And look, it's really important that we have these discussions here in a safe space. But look, this safe space is a circle and we keep everything in this circle, which means we don't go home and we don't tell our parents. Got it? That's what groomers do. When you're talking, let's define what a groomer is, shall we? If you are talking to somebody else's kids about sexuality, you're a groomer. Do you get it? It's very simple. Don't talk to other people's kids about sex. It's not your place. Even if you're coming from a good place, and I don't know what that good place would be, but even if you were honestly coming from a good place, don't do it. Imagine how you would have to try to explain yourself to that parent, the parent of that kid you're talking to, or a police officer. No, you see, like when they get busted trying to, in the hidden camera, Chris Hansen stuff, take a seat over there. when they get busted, online, you know, I was coming to, you know, to catch a predator, that show, which is fantastic. You know, oh no, I wasn't coming with I mean, I know I had wine coolers and a box of condoms, but what I was doing is coming over to tell this kid, you know, you should really not talk to people online. I was coming over there to give them some good advice. You know, they always go to that. Listen, don't put yourself in that situation. You're not to be talking to other people's kids about sex. Period. It's very simple. This isn't some gigantic gray area. It's very simple. Don't do that. We've got the Arizona Department of Education has a link for LGBT kids to an on, you know, hey, if you think you're LGBTQ plus I O whatever, I forget all the acronyms, then we have this, there's a link you can go to find out more about it. And you go, oh, okay. This is like Arizona Department of Education for like kids. And when you go to that link, it's to an online chat room where there's like adults in there talking about sex. It's totally inappropriate. Massachusetts school being sued for encouraging kids to use different names and pronouns and then hiding that from the parents. Again, if you're telling kids, don't tell your parents, then you're doing something wrong. It's very easy to understand this. If part of what you're telling kids is you're talking to them about sex, and you follow that up or in any way tell them whatever we just talked about, don't tell your parents, you're a groomer. Period. End of story. If you see that kind of behavior happening to your kids at school, get involved. And I mean immediately. Go to that teacher, go to the principal, go to the media. Go wherever you need to go. Go to Project Veritas, go to Libs of TikTok. Make noise. That's the only way this gets changed, is if you shame these people who clearly have no shame to begin with, but you put pressure on the administrators or everybody involved, you just start ratcheting it up and put more and more pressure on these people. It's the only way they're going to change. They think they're doing the right thing. That's the problem. So, according to that Massachusetts lawsuit that I mentioned, where the kids were being encouraged to use different pronouns, the list of pronouns that one of the kids wanted to use were as follows. This is the kid's pronouns. She, her, he, him. Okay. How? I don't know. They, them. They, fair, a, air, veer, z. I can't even read them. I mean, I don't know. How do you pronounce X-E? X-E slash X-E-M, Z-Zim, I guess. And then there's Z-Zer, Z-E slash Z-I-R. This is gibberish. This is nonsense. Remember how we've talked about the House of Representatives in 2021 banned the use of words used to describe the family, like mother, father, brother, daughter, sister, aunt, uncle? Those words are banned, but you've got to use zimzer and a-air and vaver. This is mental illness. This isn't anything anchored in reality. And the longer we encourage this and normalize it and act like, oh, it's totally, oh, I'm sorry, Bobby, what are your pronouns? Well, my pronouns are fair. Get the fuck out of here with that. Immediately put a stop to it. Listen. You should want to be a brontosaurus at this age, not a drag queen. Okay? You should want to be a knight or a princess or anything other than this stuff. But it's no surprise because they're sexualizing children younger and younger on television. Now, Netflix has gotten themselves into a lot of problems with cuties, and rightfully so. It's child porn masquerading as a show on Netflix talking about how the child beauty pageant industry. Now, we'd had that like Toddlers and Tiaras here in the United States on like TLC, which is like the freak network. Great network, by the way. If you want a family of midgets or 1,000-pound sisters or 600-pound life or hoarders or whatever, TLC is your place, man. Let me tell you, it is the circus channel for sure. They did a long-running series on the pageants. They kept it PG. They kept it, you know, they just focused. They're like, we're not going to focus on the sexualizing of the children. We're going to focus on the insanity of the moms that are running, you know, that are driving their kids and putting their kids in these pageants. That's not what Netflix did. Netflix was like, let's bring in like a French film crew that has, you know, very lax standards when it comes to filming young little kids. And let's let them film this and we'll put it out and we'll call it, I don't know, art or something. It's not art. It's child porn. And Netflix took a beating over this, and rightfully so. They lost billions in market cap. They got woke. They went broke. They've done that recently too, as we've talked about before, how they're just in year to date, year 2022, they've lost almost $225 billion in market cap because people are tired of what Netflix is serving them. And it's this woke shit and it's not working anymore. State Farm Insurance, you know, I mean, it's not limited to just the platforms. State Farm Insurance, which is in the insurance business, you know, if you have like home and auto insurance, you can get it from State Farm here in the United States. I'm not sure if it's international, but they are sending out books to kids in Florida through the Gender Cool Project. And the three books are, one's a book about trans, one's a book about non-binary, and one's a book about inclusivity. Who the fuck asked State Farm to send books to kids? You're an insurance company. What are you doing? Are you trying to get sued? Are you trying to come out as a groomer company? It's very weird. It's totally unnecessary. Nobody's asking for this. Did you not see what happened to Disney? When they tried to pull some shit in Florida, this does not end well. Speaking of Disney, grooming kids with subliminal messages. They've been doing that for 70 years through cartoons and their movies. Watch them. I'm not just hidden themes. I'm not talking about Pinocchio, you know, Geppetto taking or them taking them off to the island of misfit boys. Disney has a pedophile problem, big time. We've talked about that on the Get Woke, Go Broke stuff and everything woke turns to crap, those episodes. I don't need to rehash that. We understand that Disney has a pedophile problem. They've got grooming material that they're promoting. They've got pedophiles that work for them that keep getting arrested. Like a lot of them. I mean, not as many as CNN, of course, but you know. No, but they do have a serious problem. We've got, and then we talked about the DeSantis, the parental rights and education bill that they called Don't Say Gay bill. Didn't say Don't Say Gay anywhere in the bill again. So, you know, if you're talking to kids about sexuality and they aren't your kids, you're a groomer. And that comes in a variety, you know, it could be the preschool teacher itself. It could be State Farm sending books about transgenderism to very young kids in Florida. Inappropriate. Stay out of it. Tom DeLay, who is a Republican Speaker of the House, I think. I can never remember what his title was. It's pretty high ranking. He came out and in 2015 in an interview said that they were trying to work to normalize 12 perversions. A secret memo from the Justice Department, he said. He said, I've been sitting in the meetings where there's a secret memo from the Justice Department that we all sat around and talked about in sessions. That's talked about normalizing 12 perversions. Now, if I said I heard that there's some document out there that is doing that, you could be like, well, show me the document, you know, like, where is it? What are we talking about? But I'm not in those meetings. Tom DeLay was. He said, I saw the document. He said, I've sat in the meetings. This is what he said. This is his quote. They're now going to go after 12 new perversions. Things like bestiality, polygamy, having sex with little boys, and making that legal. Not only that, but they have a whole list of strategies to go after the churches, the pastors, and any business that tries to assert their religious liberty. This is coming. He said this in 2015. Where are we now? It's coming. Hell, it's here. Entered into the public lexicon, Jeffrey Epstein. Now everybody knows about Epstein. It's not just us conspiracy theorists and authors that have been writing about him for years and years and years. Now everybody knows about him. That he worked for the Mossad and the CIA and partnered with the Saudis and had a 727 with a rear deploying staircase so that you could throw people out of it in flight. He's dead. His pimp partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, is in prison. We've got Peter Nygaard. He's in prison. He's a Canadian fashion mogul, which is hysterical if you ever see the way he dresses or the inside of his plane, also a 727 with a rear deploying stairwell where you can throw things out of in flight. He's sitting in prison for multiple counts of rape. Jean-Luc Brunel, Epstein's partner in Paris, he's dead. Remember him? He's the one that gave Epstein the triplets as a birthday present. The three French triplets that were like 14 years old. Maybe they were 15. Who cares? What difference does it make? 14, 15 triplets from Jean-Luc Brunel to Jeffrey Epstein for his birthday. What do you get the man who has everything? You get him triplet 15-year-olds, apparently. Modeling agency pimp. Child trafficker, Jean-Luc Brunel, dead. Hugh Hefner. Oh, you forgot about Hugh? You thought he was just a sweet old man in his bathrobe? He's dead too. He was a pimp. He was a trafficker as well. If you don't know that the Playboy Mansion was a brownstone operation being run in part by intelligence agencies to gather information, then you just don't understand what happens in Hollywood. I mean, that was a trap that people walked into. But it was a blackmail operation. So we're now starting to get these names out into the public. I think the people are starting to realize, hey, we have a problem with child trafficking. We have a problem with some really devious people grabbing little kids and furnishing them to powerful rich folks. Let's talk about Alan Walker. Are you familiar with Alan Walker? A-L-L-Y-N Walker. Trans person. Fired from their professor job at Old Dominion University for defending pedophiles, saying society should refer to them as minor attracted persons. Minor attracted persons is a term that you will hear from time to time. That is what you call somebody when you're trying to normalize pedophilia. You say, "Well, they're not pedophile. They're just attracted to minors." You mean like a pedophile is? You mean like exactly like a pedophile is? Whoa! I mean, pedophile is such a negative connotation. I prefer to refer to myself as a minor attracted person. You're a pedophile. Period. That's what you are. We could play the word games all day long. Tell it to the judge. Walker has a doctorate in criminal justice, don't you know? and suggests that pedophiles should be provided with childlike sex dolls to satisfy their urges, and that the sex crimes with children are not immoral. This person, Alan Walker, was a professor at Old Dominion University. Now, to be fair, when you're in university, you're no longer a child. You're above 18 years old, unless you're Sheldon Cooper. But you're an adult at that point. So I don't think that the problem necessarily, it was Alan Walker sexualizing them there's students, because their students were of age. The problem is, she wrote a book about it. It released in 2021, titled Long Dark Shadow, Minor Attracted People. So you're talking about normalizing pedophilia, and then you get surprised when libs of TikTok finds out about you, out you, and then you get fired from your job. Why are you surprised? What the surprise is that you thought this was normal. That you've been in some sort of weird bubble, or you're mentally ill, or both, probably. And you have come to some sort of miscalculation that the things that you're writing about are going to be taken as serious conversation, debated rigorously, pontificated upon. No. That book should be used as evidence at your trial when you are eventually arrested for pedophilia, which no doubt Alan Walker will be at some point. You don't write books. Fuck, you don't tell. If you're a pedophile, you probably shouldn't be telling anybody. You certainly shouldn't be writing books about it unless you're the most dangerous type of pedophile, I think. One that doesn't think they're wrong. Like, if you're operating from the assumption that sex crimes with children are not immoral, and you write that in your book, you're somebody that needs to be on everybody's watch list. Quote, a lot of people, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender. And that isn't true. And it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions towards minors. No. That's Alan Walker. No. Alan, I have to tell you something. People hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume it means sex offender, because that's what a pedophile is. That's what you are. You're a pedophile. You're not a minor attracted person. That's how you're trying to whitewash what you are. You're a pedophile. You just haven't been arrested for it yet. And when you go to prison for this, what you will find out is that the fellas on the yard aren't interested in your explanation about minor attracted person. You will soon be learning how to braid hair. Do you understand me? It's going to be rough for you in prison. First thing that will happen is they will knock all of your teeth out. Do you know why they will knock all of your teeth out? So that the teeth don't get in the way of the blowjob machine, which you, Alan Walker, will be turned into. When you're not hanging off of some guy's belt loop and wearing your boxers backwards as a sign that store's open. Do you understand the reality of the situation that you are going to get yourself into by coming out and openly, enthusiastically cheerleading for pedophilia? You're going to get yourself killed, and you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. Now, I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying that this is the law. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. There's great news in Alan Walker's current situation. Because the deep state Johns Hopkins University, who's always involved in SPARS pandemic document, Event 201, food chain reaction, you know, those guys, they went ahead and hired Alan Walker to work at the Moore Center for Prevention of Child Sexual Abuse. And I'm not making that up. 15,000 people signed a petition to get Alan Walker removed from Old Dominion University. They did. Claimed that the reason people were so mad was because they, them are trans. Again, using that as a shield to deflect from righteous criticism about you being a pedophile, saying, no, no, they're only attacking me personally because I'm trans. No. No, keep singing that same old song and see where it gets you. Took no responsibility at all, of course, blamed everybody else right on schedule. Played the victim, as expected, and claimed to be working for child safety. They always claim to be about interested in your safety, don't you know, while they're raping your kids. Let's talk about Laura Silsby. That name ring a bell? It should. Anyone that's been paying attention, back when Haiti had their earthquake catastrophe, the Clinton Foundation ran point on that operation so that they could steal as much money as possible that was coming into the Haiti Relief Foundation that never made its way to Haiti, wound up in the Clinton Foundation, which Charles Ortel has described as the largest criminal operation in the history of the planet. And he might be right. Laura Silsby was caught in Haiti trying to cross over into the Dominican Republic with 33 kids. Yes, 33 kids. Yes, the number 33, don't you know? Worked for the Clinton Foundation. Gets busted at the border of the DR with 33 kids that aren't hers, that are Haitian orphans. The only problem is they weren't orphans. Their parents were looking for them. They'd been separated from their parents after the horrific earthquake. And Laura Silsby was taking them, was stealing them. Gets arrested, gets put in a Haitian jail, gets to make the proverbial one phone call. Who she call? Bill Clinton. Now, why would Bill Clinton give a flying fuck about somebody that just got busted with 33 kids trying to steal them in Haiti? Bill Clinton didn't say, Laura who? Click. He flew down there and got her out of prison. And then where did she take a job? Amber Alert. The Amber Alert system. For those of you that are not in the United States, there's a system called the Amber Alert system. It's named after a kid named Amber who went missing, and there's no way to coordinate like a lost kid. So what happens is this Amber Alert system is like when a kid gets reported missing and it's like the kid has just been stolen and it was, you know, the police got a call that it was a blue Ford with this license plate. That goes out everywhere. It goes out on your cell phone. It, like, you can't stop it. It makes this horrible noise, like, you know, it starts squawking. And it, same thing on your TV. It says missing, you know, you'll see that it's amazing how they do that to try and find this missing kid, right? Now, how they distinguish one missing, you know, like why one missing kid is a priority and the thousands of others that go missing aren't a priority. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I do know that when you're in the missing kid finding business, you don't hire Laura Silsby, who got busted trying to steal 33 kids. You just don't do that. But they did. Where was she taking those kids? Why did the Clinton Foundation feel the need to go get involved? Why? Was she taking them to Epstein? I mean, seriously, was she? Maybe. At least 135 teachers and aides have been charged with child sex crimes this year alone. Not in the last 12 months, in the first 5 months. 135 teachers and aides. 102 of the 135 that were arrested involved alleged crimes against students, 76%. Let's just call it 3/4 of the people, of the teachers that have been arrested, involved alleged, and I say alleged, let them go through the court system and figure it out, alleged crimes against students. It's 117 teachers, 11 teachers' aides, and 7 substitutes. Anissa Gower, 35 years old, biology teacher, 29 counts of child molestation. 29 counts. William Smith, 31, science teacher, 27 counts, first degree sexual assault, 28 counts, indecent liberties. John Doty, 35, biology teacher, 2 counts of rape, 1 count attempted rape, 6 counts child seduction. Holy shit, what is it about science teachers? Watch out for your science teachers. A quote from Christopher Rufo, who has been doing a lot of great work on this. The public school system has a serious child sex abuse problem. The last significant federal study on the topic, which was conducted by the Department of Education in 2004, suggested that millions of American school children are victims of teacher sexual misconduct in each generation of K through 12 students. Millions. Get your kids out of public schools. Get your kids out of government schools. I always like to refer to them as government schools, because when you say public schools, it has a different connotation. When you say government schools, you know they're getting screwed up there. And I think that's important to make that distinction. According to a study by 5 people titled Access to Gender-Affirming Hormones During Adolescence and Mental Health Outcomes Among Transgendered Adults, they came to the following conclusion. There are these 5 scientists involved in it. Estrogen is associated with greater suicidality among transgendered males, and puberty suppression is not associated with better mental health outcomes for either sex. That was January of 2022. So there is a belief, a really unusual belief, that puberty blocking hormones and these medical procedures are safe and effective. They're not. They'll try to show you some study where things are different, that they're reversible, harmless, and cautionary. We'll get to that in a second. They are not. I'm going to do a little bit on puberty blockers in particular. But the school system has a child sex abuse problem, and the gender confusion that's being taught by the teachers at these rape factories, otherwise known as government schools, are extremely dangerous, because the concoctions of medicines that they're talking about putting kids on have catastrophic side effects. Let's talk about somebody who needs to be on everybody's radar. And that's State Senator from California, Scott Wiener. I know. Scott Wiener's a pedophile. Okay. Period. He introduced SB 145. Scott Wiener is a gay man. You can see him in all his glory, marching in the parades and everything. And I want to make a distinction. Being a gay man does not make you a pedophile. You may be, but being gay does not equal pedophilia. I just want to be crystal clear about that. You can be gay and a pedophile. You can be gay and not a pedophile too. So I don't want to confuse anybody by saying that. He happens to be a gay man, but he also happens to be a pedophile. He's very concerned with grooming children. So much so that he has put forth SB 145. And this would exempt from mandatory registration a person convicted of certain offenses involving minors if the person is not more than 10 years older than the minor. So let me explain this, what he's trying to say. It's not rape if I'm only 9 years older than the kid I'm raping. So you try to make some sense out of that. If the kid is 10 and the perpetrator is 19, what Scott Wiener is saying is that person doesn't need to register as a sex offender. They're not a sex offender. They're just horny. It would reduce penalties. And this is so fucking crazy. This is why I say he's a pedophile. You can't propose this legislation and not be. This is the other part of SB 145. Would reduce penalties for adults who have oral or anal sex with a willing minor child if the sex offender is within 10 years age of the victim. They specifically wanted to say both of these types of ways that you can have sex with them. And they put in there the term willing minor child. Hey, Scott, I've got news for you. You can't consent to this if you're not an adult. It's not possible. You can't be a willing minor child, just like you can't be an underage prostitute. Do you understand that? It's a huge distinction here. A willing minor child cannot consent to sex with an adult. Because they're a minor. You should know this. You probably do know this, but you just don't want to believe it. Who do you work for, Scott Wiener? Who's financing your campaign? Who put you here? Let's dig into your past. I hope you know how to braid hair, because you're going to wind up in prison. You're going to wind up in Pelican Bay, where you belong. Wiener said, the current law targets LGBT individuals because they do not engage in penile vaginal intercourse. This is Scott Wiener's quote, this is such horrific homophobia. It's irrational and it ruins people's lives. Scott Wiener. You know what ruins people's lives? Getting raped by adults when they're kids. That's what ruins people's lives, Scott. No amount of legislation is going to normalize this. I don't give a shit what Tom DeLay said. This is what he's talking about, though. This is exactly what he's talking about. They're even going to try and make it legal to have sex with little boys. He said that in 2015. And then here we are with Scott Wiener in California proposing this legislation. It's almost like Tom DeLay knows what the fuck he's talking about. Imagine that. That's crazy. Early sexualization of kids breaks the bond that they have with their parents, okay? It breaks a lot of bonds, especially if the parent is the one doing it to them. But even if it's not, if it's somebody else, early sexualization of children almost always ends poorly, results in low self-esteem, problems fitting into society, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, perpetuating sexual deviation with other kids, continuing the cycle, offloading that pain onto somebody else. Shitty stuff, man. An early sexualization of kids, once you break that bond between them and the parents, makes them more susceptible to be loyal to the state, which winds up taking them in foster care. This is the Soviets and the Marxists encouraged this. They encouraged this, sexualize the kids young, break that bond with their parents, and then have them be raised by the state. They show some sort of weird loyalty. It's really devious. And they're trying to normalize it through science. They're trying to say, well, you know, look, this is just, you know, we're just talking about, you know, this is hormone, gender affirming hormones and puberty blockers and all this stuff. It's just advances in science allow us to finally be able to do this for these kids that feel like they're trapped in the wrong body. Kids want to be Spider-Man when they're 6 years old. They're not trapped in the wrong body. They're kids. If you can't rent a car in the United States until you're 25 years old because your brain is not fully developing, and the insurance industry knows this, the car rental industry and their insurance component understand this. You can't drink alcohol until you're 21. You can't join the military unless you're 18, but you can take puberty blockers and hormone, gender affirming hormone when you're 7? How is this anchored in logic at all? Please explain to me. I'd love for someone to come in and explain how it all makes sense, because it doesn't. Unless you're trying to destroy these kids. I mean, if the plan is to destroy these kids, you really can't do a better job than this. Guess what it also does? Guess what the gender affirming hormones and puberty blockers do as a side effect? They sterilize kids too. Not every kid every single time, but it is one of the side effects. So depopulation has entered the conversation, unfortunately. Look, Saul Alinsky talked about this in his book, you know, in Rules for Radicals, and the speeches he gave, talking about education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. That's what he said. You know, but look, not to make this America-centric necessarily. For you, those of you in the UK, I know about PIE, Pedophile Information Exchange. You guys know about that? The UK's version of like 1970s grooming? Those weirdos? Elm Guest House, Dolphin Square. I know about all that shit. Ted Heath, Cyril Smith. There's a big problem with this stuff. But it, like I said, it's not accidental. It's not a new fashion trend that MTV is putting out. This isn't going away by next spring break. It's here to stay because it's being financed by some people that have a lot of money and are very interested in this agenda. So the trans agenda is being heavily financed by one of the Pritzkers. Now, you may know J.B. Pritzker as the governor of the state of Illinois. This is Jennifer Pritzker, formerly James Pritzker. Worth about anywhere from $1.5 to $2 billion. Each of them are. There's like a dozen of the Pritzkers. They're all worth about $2 billion. From the Hyatt Hotels family. So, Jennifer Pritzker has donated money to the Pritzker School of Medicine at University of Chicago. Donated millions to the University of Minnesota Medical Department, Human Sexuality Department. Donated $25 million to the University of California, San Francisco's Child Health Department that pushes for irreversible transsexual surgeries. Normalizing transgenderism through academia with the financing of the Pritzkers. Pushing to allow transgender in the military was financed by the Pritzkers. Jennifer Pritzker, because when Jennifer was James, James was in the military. I mean, I know you're hearing the song In the Navy in your head, because I am. It's just too funny to not go there. Donated $25 million to the University of Norwich and its military department. Then the University of Norwich adds a chapter to its student rules manual dedicated to, quote, accommodating transgender recruits. What a surprise. That's what $25 million will buy you. They make you rewrite your entire rules manual. Jennifer's brother, J.B. Pritzker, I mentioned Governor of Illinois, signed exclusive order giving transgender and non-binary students special privileges in school, as well as access to lawyers at no cost. Why would you need access to lawyers at no cost? What are you doing? Suing your parents? Why the fuck are you giving transgendered and non-binary, like you can just identify as non-binary, special privileges in schools? Why? Is that legal to do? I guess when your brother's the governor of Illinois and you're talking about a lawless state, Chicago being the prime example and Lori Lightfoot, you're talking about a group of people that are that don't care about the general public. They care about some agenda somewhere. So like I said, I mentioned that Jennifer, aka James, is a retired Army lieutenant colonel, came out as trans in 2013, has three kids. Not sure how that all works. J.B. Pritzker, the governor, gave $12.6 million to the Hillary Clinton campaign. Could you imagine like you've got $13 million in your checking account and you decide to write a $12.6 million check to the Hillary Clinton campaign? How much do you have to hate your money to do that? I mean, anything would be better. Just going out and like Nino Brown, handing out turkeys to everybody at Thanksgiving, like New Jack City. That would be way better than giving what can you spend $12.6 million on besides Hillary Clinton? Oh my God. Jennifer James Pritzker, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what day it is. I don't know what identity they're assuming today. Donated $6 million to Palm Center, an LGBT think tank for study on transgendered people in the military. Do you understand where the transgender in the military is coming from? It's coming from the Pritzkers. Donated $1 million to Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago for a gender and sex development program. Donated $50,000 to the University of Toronto for trans study course. It's an agenda. Financed by some very powerful democratic demons. I never used the term demon before until like the last 2 years. It's just so appropriate, I feel. Let's talk about puberty blockers. We'll wrap up with all this stuff. So kind of the science part. So they make three false claims about the use of them. They say that they're reversible. They say that they're harmless and that the treatment is cautionary. So let's talk about reversible. Quote, there are virtually no published reports, even case studies, of adolescents withdrawing from puberty suppressing drugs and then resuming the normal pubertal development typical for their sex. That is by Paul Hruus, Washington University School of Medicine, Lawrence Mayer, professor, Arizona State University, Paul McHugh, former psychiatrist and chief Johns Hopkins. All three of them are on the record saying stuff, it's not reversible. In fact, there's no studies or reports of people ever being able to go back to normal. It's the exact opposite of reversible. It's irreversible. How about, is it harmless? Back to the same guys. Quote, puberty suppression hormones prevent the development of secondary sex characteristics, arrest bone growth, decrease bone accretion, prevent full organization and maturation of the brain, and inhibit fertility. That doesn't sound good. I thought these are supposed to help the person transition. But you're saying, these guys are saying, it screws up your bone growth, your bone density, and it prevents the full organization and maturation of the brain. Remember the brain that's still developing until you're 25? It needs that time to sort of grow and work out its kinks and get all that stuff and get those neurons connected and everything. This comes in and fucks all of that up. And you wonder why these people are so suicidal. How can you not be? Your whole brain chemistry is scrambled. There's also a ton of side effects from these puberty blockers that include sterility, coronary disease, breast cancer, cardiovascular disease, and elevated blood pressure. These are hardly safe, and they're definitely not effective. Cautionary. Quote, gender identity for children is elastic, that is, it can change over time, and plastic, that is, it can be shaped by forces like parental approval and social conditions. They concluded that hormone suppression is a radical experimental therapy that's being carried out on children. It's radical and experimental. And you're doing it to kids. You know what I think this is a lot of times? I think it's Munchausen by proxy for a lot of these moms. Have you seen the moms? It's always in the eyes, man. Holy shit. You see the videos and they're like, my 2-year-old is transitioning. And you look in their eyes and you go, you're crazy. Your kid is fine, by the way. Good news is your kid's going to be fine as long as they get away from you. The bad news is I think the mom is insane. And Munchausen by proxy is like when the mom is secretly like putting arsenic in the baby's food and they're like, my baby's sick, my baby's always sick, and everyone's like, oh, you're so brave for taking care of the sick kid, and it's the mom doing it the whole time. I mean, it's rare, but when it happens, it's wild, and they usually make documentaries about it, or, you know, they usually make turn it into a TV show because it's so insane. But I think there's a lot of this. I think there's the mental illness of the parents, especially in particular, the mom in these cases, because they seem to be the driver of it, that mental illness is being laid over and put onto the kid. Kid doesn't know any better. Like, you don't know at 7 if you there's a million things that you could want to be exploring. Your sexuality, you want to dress, you know, you're watching Marvel movies and you want to be like one of the characters there, and the kids play around and pretend to be all kinds of things. They pretend to be the other sex too sometimes. It doesn't mean that they want to be. But the parents, I think, they see that and they think, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, get virtue points for my kid transition. And I was there the whole time and it was brave. And it's like a project. This is crazy to me. Oregon has become the first state to allow legally gender X on official documents. California voted to do the same. New York and DC did as well. All blue states, all Democrat states, of course. You're not going to find this bullshit in the Republicans. And I'm not on the red team or the blue team. I've said that plenty of times. I'm not a fan of either of these teams. But you don't see this shit going on in the Republican-controlled states. They just, there's no appetite for this. This mental illness is partisan. So, you know, and gender pronouns and all of that, we've had some fun with them because they're silly and ridiculous and everything. But they do something else. You know, when you see somebody that is going by these obscure, nonsensical pronouns, that's like a neon flashing sign that says open for business to groomers and pedophiles. It tells them these people are already confused about what's going on, their sexuality. They might have problems at home. It's like an advertisement for a broken kid. And that's just an abomination. We're in a really dangerous place here. I think that people should get their kids out of government schools. If you can't do that, then at least be proactive. Don't allow these teachers, administrators, substitutes, whatever, to get in there and get a hold of your kids' minds, because they have access to them for many hours every single day. And kids are very impressionable. They can be shaped and molded. So you have to make sure that you know who's in charge of that. Really, it should be you. But in the society that we currently live in, where you send kids off to school for them to be educated by a total stranger, it's your duty and responsibility to make sure that stranger knows that you're watching them. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression, and the website, if you choose to take a look over there, you can find my books available for sale. The website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. I'll talk to you all very soon.